The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Greetings from the heartland of America. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I would be Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our humble bunker. Today is Sunday, the 10th of August.
And we've got with us a special guest. There are things happening in the world today that require I think a little closer look, a much closer look, and some preparation.
Absolutely. And nobody knows about preparation better than Ray Gano.
Yeah. He's the founder and publisher of Prophezine, online at prophezine.com, and the author of a new ebook, Survive the Coming Storm, Ebola Crisis, A Prepper's Guide on How to Prepare for a Killer Global Ebola Pandemic and Treat at Home. Ray, welcome to PID Radio.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I appreciate it.
We are so delighted to have you. You know, you have done exactly what needed to be done. And Lord love you, you're not charging a whole lot for this.
No, I really wanted to get the information out there so that people could be informed. I'm about helping people. And I think that's what we need to do and be ready for. And 1 Peter 3:15, and this is one of the verses that like drives me to what I do, and that is, says, always be ready to share the hope that's within you in meekness and fear. And that's Ray paraphrased. But the word always is the key word in that. That means do things always and be ready always in good times and in bad times. And if we're to do things always, especially in the bad times, then we need to kind of prepare ourselves so that we can do things when bad things are happening. And so I really try to teach people on how to be prepared. Basically build your ark. And so that, you know, no matter what, Noah, you know, when he sailed on his ark, it wasn't a joyride. I mean, it wasn't a carnival cruise or anything like that. And the thing is that even though they went through that trial of 40 days and 40 nights and being in the ark for, I believe, 320 days and everything, you know, it wasn't fun. I mean, there was seasickness and cleaning up the messes and all those animals and everything like that. And so that's survival. We're not promised a rose garden and we're not promised a Carnival Cruise Line, but we are promised if we do the right thing and we're trying to do as best as we can that we hopefully will make it to the other side of the storm. And then that's the thing that I want people to do is when they do make it, then we're going to be able to share that hope because there's going to be so many people who are going to be looking for the hope. And I mean, I remember during 9/11, those times, a few days right after 9/11, how many people were just, you know, seeking out the Lord. And so even though that really didn't last that long, it's the same sort of idea. And so we have the chance to make a difference for the Lord if we position and prepare ourselves so that when we can make it through that storm, be effective on the other side of that storm. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons that we have no problem, you know, fellowshipping with you and recommending people to your work. You know, there are, because we have talked a bit in the past about folks who put, say, too much trust in guns and gold. As opposed to God.
Yeah.
But yet we look to the biblical example of Joseph and how he was able to save not just the nation of Egypt, but the nation of, you know, the future nation of Israel through preparation during lean times. So there's nothing wrong with preparing. We just want to make sure that as we are counseling people to be prepared for rough times, that it's not spreading fear, because as Christians, we're told in Scripture that we are not given a spirit of fear. And we don't sense that in your message. And we had the opportunity to talk, you know, face to face a bit when we were in Branson a couple of years ago for the Prophecy Summit there,
and then down in Florida.
And yes, and so that made a big difference as far as we're concerned. So you know, your work here, Ebola is getting a lot of attention now because of Well, because the communicability.
Primarily because of the American missionaries who
right.
contracted the disease while they've been volunteering over there. This is a. Well, why don't you tell us about what you found out about Ebola, right?
Like any, and I always forget the. It's an immune suppressant or autoimmune or immuno. Suppressant. You're the microbiologist, Sharon. Maybe you know the problem.
Well, I can tell you Ebola is unusual in that it actually turns your immune system against you. It causes what's called a cytokine storm, and that's one of the reasons that you get so incredibly sick. But there are lots of types of cytokines. One of those is interferon, which I think many people who've dealt with cancer recognize that. Interferon is very helpful when it comes to that. But interferon is not one of the cytokines that is released during the storm. So it's all the bad ones and none of the good ones.
Yeah.
It's a nasty, nasty illness.
Well, what a lot of people, at least what I saw, is that it's the virus is pretty on the fragile side, just like the flu. And in fact, on the onset has many flu-like symptoms. And then... From what I was able to research, well, first of all, there is no cure to Ebola, but the survivability could be from 10% to 40%, and that's what they're seeing. And this strain, just like a common flu or some of these other immune sort of diseases, they mutate. And the Zaire strain that came out in the 1970s was easily combated, and then there were other strains of Ebola that were combated, but they've mutated over the years to the point where they now, the CDC is saying that there's very good chances that this strain is actually airborne, could be spread by, you know, via the air.
That's true. Actually, I will jump in really quickly and tell you that if you read a lot of the history on it, it's very possible it's been airborne all along.
Yeah. There was a study way back when with the pig and the monkeys and,
right.
and everything. Where
yeah, USAMRIID actually did a study on that.
Yeah. And so there is showing that they, at least maybe in confined spaces that it is airborne, and that mm-hmm. could be via the aerosol, like a sneeze or a cough or vomiting.
Exactly. It's just not very good at infecting you in your lungs. It likes blood better.
So those are things that people are seeing, and that's what's happening. But this strain is showing to be pretty brutal. And I haven't been hearing of very many cases surviving it. But this is also because it's been centralized to Africa, and the health conditions there and everything are not the greatest. But it'll be interesting to see what happens to this doctor and this nurse that have brought it over here in America. He's been responding to some treatments that I guess is some sort of rat blood sort of treatment, and but he's responding pretty well, and the other lady has been responding pretty well, but still it isn't maybe a cure or anything, and it'll be interesting to see that if this does work, and they have said that this cure is not available or is not able to work in every single human being. There's something with the DNA, so they got to run a DNA test on you to see if this this rat blood cure can even be effective with you. And but it's the mortality rate on this one is showing itself to be a lot worse. And so it's kind of creeping up into the 90% range versus the 60% range. But the studies are showing that possibly environment may have a positive impact on you. So if you're in a positive environment, being a more sterile, more clean, more healthy, being able to help you more, treat you better and everything, as opposed to being on some cot way out in the middle of the jungles of Africa, your chances of survival are probably better as opposed to being on a cot in the jungle in Africa. But that's what I've been finding out so far. But one of the things that has been helping a little bit is there are some studies that, again, because the virus is on the fragile side, like the flu-like virus, there's a lot of things that you can do to possibly prevent and help combat it in the early stages. And it is, it's it's completely up to your body. Are you going to live or going to die and everything? So the more that you can make your immune system amped up, the more antibodies that you can have, the healthier you are, the less stressed you are, and so forth and so on. The better you are at possibly combating this disease if you catch it, as opposed to somebody who is, their body is stressed out, low on vitamins, low, not very healthy, you know, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been writing in my book, is because we, interestingly enough, Tracy and I went through a mini pandemic back in the 2008, 2009, mm-hmm. when the swine flu took place in America. What was interesting is that New Braunfels, Texas was ground zero. And I didn't know about that until later on. But we had like 200, 300 cases of swine flu in New Braunfels, Texas. And it happened almost literally overnight. They locked the city down. All schools, all businesses and everything was shut down. They had guards at Walmart and they had guards at what is HEB, which is like a Safeway or the major grocery store. And then also guards at the Walgreens and at the HEB and the Walmart, they were only letting in limited numbers of people at a time. And in fact, you could not even stand at the front door or anything and wait. They made you go back out, sit in your car and get away from them and everything. And then what they would do is like wave a flag and then you can come in. Hmm. Yeah. And then Walgreens, if you didn't have prescription, they weren't letting you come in at all, because people were just like storming the pharmacy stores or the drug stores looking for anything to help them against the flu and so forth. And it was really interesting during that time. And here we are, we were preppers and we had like tons of food and all this other stuff. And yet our medical supplies were like completely zip, zero.
Oh.
And so when I teach people, I try to tell people, like, what you want to do is stay out of the herd and avoid the herd. Because when the herd starts reacting, you're going to start making decisions based on fear and instinct and everything instead of really thinking things through. And so it's very easy to get sucked into that herd mentality and go crazy. Like, you know, everybody's going to go out and buy water. Oh, no, I've now got to go buy water, too. Or everybody's going to go out and buy red ribbon. Oh, I need to go out and buy red ribbon too. So the herd mentality takes over and you start making decisions based on that. So the thing is that what we try to do is by being prepared and everything, we stay out of the herd. And then, so therefore our decisions are wise or prudent and being based on logic, not based on fear, based on instinct or based on herd mentality. But what was happening with us is that because we didn't prepare and we didn't even think about anything like this, we were kind of days and hours ahead of the herd. So I was doing quick research. I was like, okay, what do I need? What do I need? How do I secure my home? Blah, blah, blah. And I was running to drug stores and everything. And I had to even go outside the cities. I wanted Sambucol, so I had to go get some Sambucol. It was 30 miles away. And I only found two bottles of Sambucol. It was already being bought up everywhere else. Hand sanitizer, pretty much inexistent. Face masks, inexistent. I mean, all these things, rubber gloves, everything that you would think that you can help, you know, prepare and protect yourself against a flu pandemic, it was already flying off the shelves, even in other cities like Austin and San Antonio. And we lived, New Braunfels, Texas is right in the middle between San Antonio and Austin.
Mm.
So We were just hours to days ahead of the herd, buying everything up as fast as we can and everything. And then we sat it out. But it really gave us a hardcore lesson on how fast a pandemic would move and how fast it affects things. And if you're not medically prepared, then forget about it. You're not going to find anything. I mean, we couldn't find aspirin. We couldn't find Tylenol, we couldn't find rubber gloves, flashlights, tongue depressors, anything doing with sanitation. I mean, nothing. I think I bought the last two cans of Lysol spray in New Braunfels, and I was able to get that. And so it's just things flew off the shelf within hours, and then the whole city was locked down.
I know that our listeners are sort of taking mental notes right now. What is it that we need to get in our home to make us ready? Can you give us, you know, the top 20 things we need to get or something?
Well, something, one of the first things I would recommend is, because the what causes Ebola to be the killer is that people don't realize and recognize the symptoms. And so they feel like a flu starting to come on. When the flu comes on, you get, you know, sniffles and runny nose and scratchy throat and just feeling yucky and everything like that. And most of us are trained to, you know, okay, just plow on through and suck it up and drive on. And so we don't really realize that we may be infected with Ebola. But one of the things that Tracy and I have learned over the years is that as soon as we feel a sniffle, as soon as we feel a headache, as soon as we feel any symptom of anything, I instantly dose up. And our and what we dose up on is I Sambucol. And Sambucol is a black elderberry syrup, all natural. And this is actually an invention out of Israel. And what they've found out is that the black elderberry syrup causes the body to produce antibodies. And so Sambucol is actually a known kind of a cure to cure the flu and also prevent the flu. And then also anything viral. And since Ebola is a virus, I'm recommending people get Sambucol on hand. And so have Sambucol, and I have a whole list of stuff here. Sambucol, I'm a big fan of colloidal silver. Again, colloidal silver helps with viral infections and everything. Echinacea, same thing. It's an antibody producer, helps you boost your immune system and everything. Propolis, and this is something that a lot of people do not really know about, but propolis is the same thing that keeps the beehive sanitary. A beehive is a complete sterile environment, and it's due to propolis. Propolis attacks viral and antiviral, antifungal, one of the third ones. But propolis is a great product to have. Ginger root. And ginger root helps primarily with stomach flus and stomach ailments and everything. And then vitamin C. And what I recommend with vitamin C is that you actually buy rose hips, because rose hips have a higher concentration of vitamin C than just the common old everyday vitamin C that you would buy off the shelf. And then it's also more of a natural vitamin C, and your body would absorb it a lot faster and use it a lot easier. Vitamin C is something that you will, it doesn't stay within your body very long, and once your body has enough of it, it starts, you know, casting it off. So, and then activated charcoal. Activated charcoal is not, doesn't have any, at least in my research or anything, doesn't have any effect on viral or anything like that. But what I have seen is that it helps clean the system, clean the blood, clean the, helps with liver cleansing and everything. But primarily, it's used to prevent poisons. And so this is just something that I've added to my regime, that anytime we're feeling sick or anything. And what we do is we take a shot of Sambucol, you know, three or four sprays of Silver Soul. This is Silver Soul is, there's colloidal silver, but there's a new product out there called Silver Soul. And I believe it's put out by Now Food Products. Really good stuff. And what they've done is common colloidal silver, the little pieces of silver, the Silver Soul has been able to make it even smaller so that your body absorbs even more of the silver. And it's in a spray. But Silver Soul, colloidal silver, is what I use. So three or four sprays of that, two echinacea caps, two caps of propolis, two caps of ginger, two caps of rosehip, and one cap of charcoal. And we just take that down, boom, slam it, and just amp out the body really fast. And every time that we've done this, because when we lived in Texas, our kids were constantly bringing home flu, cold, everything like that.
Children are good for that, yeah.
Yeah, Tracy and I would just amp it up, and we never, ever got sick. And then what we started doing is when the kids started getting, you know, started showing signs of anything, we'd amp them up. And with everything that is here, it's completely safe for children and everything, too. But we would amp them up, and they would usually kick whatever flu or something that they would bring home. Or their kids, their friends would constantly come over sick and everything, and I'd instantly amp them up, call up their parents. Hey, listen, your kid's sick. Can I give them this? Yeah, please do. So we would. And it was interesting. One of our daughter's friends was, wow, man, your dad is like a healer. I didn't get sick at all, man. I was like, wow. So, but that's my regime on anytime, and that's what got us through that pandemic, is anytime there was any sickness or anything, and it's a proven regime, at least with us. And, you know, I'm not a doctor or anything. I'm trying not to practice medicine or anything like that, but I know what works for me. And if it works for me, it might work for you. But again, you know, talk to your physician. I'm not a doctor. You know, this is not medical advice. This is for educational purposes only, yada, 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 yada. So like a medical disclaimer. But, you know, see what works for you. Yeah, but all of these things combined help strengthen the immune system, help amp up the antibodies. The Sambucol helps the body produce more antibodies. The propolis is a defense against the virus. Echinacea, same thing. But they're all these in working in conjunction together could help you prevent that initial exposure. And so if you're initially exposed to Ebola or some flu or some sort of virus, if you take this instantly, and this is where you have to be kind of like situationally aware, then boom, you should be able to knock it out. And again, no guarantees or anything because there is no cure to Ebola. But the more that you can do, the more favorable odds that you can put in your favor, the better it is.
Yeah.
You know, so go ahead.
No, you make a really good point, because the death rate from Ebola is primarily from victims in Africa, and of course the lifespan in most parts where the disease is running rampant right now is a lot lower than it is here in the West, simply because they don't have the nutrition or the healthcare that we've got here in the West. So that gives us a bit of an advantage to begin with. But chapter 3 of your book, you touch on something, and in fact, you kind of referred to it earlier when you talked about being prepared and that helping you to stay away from the herd. If you can avoid exposure right from the get-go, you're already ahead of the game. And chapter 3 of your book talks about keeping your environment sterile. How do we go about preparing our homes and making sure as best we can that we don't even get exposed to the virus in the first place?
And it was funny because, yeah, great question. This happened to us during the pandemic in New Braunfels. My daughter, again, brought some friends home and I was furious. They were sick. And I was just, Emma, what are you doing bringing your friends here? They're sick. And we kind of self-quarantined, and that's what you need to do, basically, is self-quarantine. And this is why it's very important that you have at least 90 days of food, 90 days of water, 90 days of any critical commodities that your family uses. For example, if you have babies at home, a critical commodity would be diapers and formula and diaper rash rub and yada, yada, yada. So have 90 days at least of that so that you can self-quarantine and not even expose yourselves to the virus. And that's the critical thing. And then be prepared that if someone does come down with the virus, that you're then able to treat at home. But things that you can do is, in my book, I'm recommending like carrying with you like sprays of alcohol or sprays of bleach. You can make a bleach solution or an alcohol solution. And you need to start thinking sterile. And so when you go to, like, you're at a restaurant, when you go to a restaurant and you need to go to the bathroom, before you reach for that handle, I mean, spray it down with your little bottle of spray and keep some little napkins with you, some nappies. I don't know what you call them, but they're in a little plastic bag of just, you know, paper napkins. And so that you can then spray the handle down and then open the door and spray the handles down to the toilet, spray the handles down to the sink and all these other things, and it sounds paranoid, and these are habits that you have to get into and everything, but you honestly do not know who's been around, especially if you live in a major metropolitan area that may be infected with some sort of communicable disease, flu, or Ebola. And so these are things that you can start operating in now, and then just, you know, maintain these sterile environment ideas so that you can continue to operate within that sterile environment. And again, it's not 100%, you know, for sure and everything, but you do what you can do. And, you know, at home, you know, spray your rooms down constantly. If you can, you know, use like some UV light bulbs and keep some UV light bulbs like in the kitchen, the laundry room, bathrooms, so forth. These are areas that germs tend to congregate and viruses tend to congregate. But just doing, you know, it's harder. And it's kind of a hassle and everything, but you're able to possibly fight off that virus and at least keep your home somewhat sterile or germ free or virus free and things. And mm-hmm. so it's a completely mindset of learning to kind of live a preparedness lifestyle or a sterile lifestyle and things.
And the cool thing too is that by bringing out those UV lights, you can bring out those old posters from the 60s that you haven't been able to watch for a while. That's really kind of cool. So you not only is it sterile, it's really, decorative. Which is kind of cool. You mentioned something that we've got in our home here and that we take daily, Lugol's iodine. What's the benefit of taking iodine?
I've been taking iodine for a long time now. And first of all, iodine in the food supplies has basically been diminished, even though they say, oh, there's salt, iodine in your salt and everything. And it's nothing. But over the years, with all the wonderful GMOs and wonderful food companies and all this other stuff stripping our food of supplements and nutrients and vitamins and everything, normally we as humans gain our iodine through the food that we eat, and the plants gain it through the soil. But we've stripped the soil with the iodine and everything. But iodine is a natural antiviral, antifungal, and I keep forgetting that third word. But it kills everything. And it's your thyroid. Your thyroid, blood rush goes through your thyroid about every 7 minutes. Your complete body circulates through the thyroid every seven minutes. And your thyroid is your first defensive line. And what the thyroid does, if there's any virus or any nasties or anything, it zaps it as the blood is going through the thyroid. And then it goes down to the liver, and the liver cleans it, and yada, yada, yada. But your thyroid is there to zap against viruses and, other bugs and diseases and everything. And so if you don't have a healthy thyroid, then it's not going to be operating properly. And so I take about 5 to 6 drops of Lugol's every morning, and it's 2%, and it helps produce, it keeps my thyroid healthy and things, but I've noticed that we don't get sick very often, and so I really attribute that to the, one of the, first of all, the vitamins and everything that we take, but also the iodine that we take as supplement every day as well. I've never had thyroid issues or anything. If you have weight issues or something, you may have a low, your thyroid may not be operating properly, and so may need more iodine. Mm-hmm. Your thyroid will help speed up your metabolism a bit. So take it in the morning. You don't want to take it in the evening or anything. You won't go to sleep. It's kind of like caffeine. But it helps eliminate and get rid of viruses. Again, it's your body's first line of defense, and that's why it's right there in your throat.
I'm going to throw in something. Have you ever tried Bragg's apple cider vinegar?
I have tried it, and I've read a lot about it and everything. They just don't have it down here, and I was just starting to get into it when we left the U.S. And
we get ours through the mail.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of – they sold it in the stores in Texas. I mean, it's very popular down there. But, yeah, I was looking into it, and there's a lot of positive attributes and aspects of Bragg's. Something on the flip side of that too, kind of in the same arena that is called kombucha. And kombucha is a fermented tea. And folks, this is literally a cure-all. I mean, it's amazing the stuff that kombucha does. And do your research on kombucha, but we brew our own. And it's not the... What it is that it's a fermented black tea, and you use what's called a SCOBY or a mushroom or a fungus. It's a mushroom that grows on top of the black tea, and what it does is when it ferments the tea, it's not producing alcohol, it's producing gluconic acid, and the gluconic acid is one of the primary DNA building blocks, and so it helps you with all kinds of stuff, but has lots of positive probiotics in it. It'll help you with ulcers, helps with cholesterol, helps with hardening of the arteries. When you take kombucha over time, your skin becomes elastic again. People use it to for antifungal on for athlete's foot and other things like that. You can help it. It supposedly it helps with hair growth. I have never tried it, but you can actually put it on your head. But you can read books on, and there's just study after study after study coming out of Russia, China, Japan on the positive aspects of kombucha. And same thing with the Braggs and kombucha, kind of the same thing, because it's an acid in a sense, or a vinegar or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredibly great for you. And I mixed down here. I've got a big 5-gallon bucket of it, you know, going and everything.
I was going to say, I found a place online that tells you how to make it at home.
So simple. It is so easy. Anybody can do it. They really can.
It's kombucha.
Uh-huh, kombucha.
For the listeners mm-hmm. who are thinking, how do I find that?
And a lot of places. Now, you can go out and purchase a SCOBY, and that's what it's called, is a SCOBY, is the mushroom or the fungus. But there's a lot of people out there that if you kind of get on Yahoo or Facebook or something in some of these local area groups, especially if you're in the health food stores or health food groups or something, and you say, hey, is anybody out there brewing a kombucha? Can I get a SCOBY? Because one of the things, I mean, I have SCOBYs coming out my ears right now.
Really? Just, you should clean your ears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, I know. But they produce like crazy. And all you need is just a piece of it to throw in some tea, and it instantly starts reproducing again.
Oh.
And so SCOBYs are easy to find. So you don't want to be spending any money on a SCOBY. Odds are somebody in your area is producing kombucha. And when we lived in New Braunfels, I was giving SCOBYs away left and right. And the same thing with kefir. Kefir molecules or kefir grains, which is another, what kefir is a fermented milk drink. And it does the same thing. A lot of positive probiotics and so forth and so on, like yogurt and mm-hmm. everything. But kefir and kombucha is an acquired taste. Now, the kombucha that we make down here, I add a lot of ginger to, and it is absolutely delicious. Mm-hmm. So once you brew it, you can then bottle it and then add flavoring to it. And so you can add like mango pulp or ginger or, you know, applesauce. You can add all kinds of stuff to it, and it flavors it.
Hmm.
And so it's really good. But it helps you with weight loss. It helps you with hardening of the arteries, cholesterol, stomach internal, I mean, the GI tract, just all kinds of things. And again, I challenge people to do their research on it. Don't take my word for it. But you'll see that there's just tons of stuff and tons of studies out there showing that it does this and it does that. And a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, right. This is like the snake oil miracle drug. And in the case of kombucha, it truly is. It works on a lot of stuff. I mean, you can, again, research it and you'll see all the stuff that kombucha does.
I want to make some.
Yeah, it sounds like it's worth trying anyway.
Well, it also helps against the flu. And this was another thing that why we got into I love fermentation, but kombucha as well as making our own sauerkraut. These are two things that when I was doing my research back during the pandemic, that sauerkraut and kombucha, the fermented tea, start coming up a lot, that countries or people groups that ate a lot of fermented cabbage or drank, you know, portions in China and Asia and the Pacific Rim that drink kombucha did not suffer much loss during the Spanish flu in 1908.
Really?
Yeah,
it would have been 1918, 1919.
1918, yes, yeah. Thank you.
I know this because I've got some copies of letters from my grandfather who was serving in France during that time, and he closed all of his letters with to his mother by saying, I am feeling fine and am in the best of health, you know, instead of, you know, your loving son or anything like that. It's like, why? Oh, yeah, 50 million people around the world were dying.
Yeah, exactly. But the studies show that countries that fermented their cabbage or drank some sort of kombucha drink, and now again, kombucha is more prevalent in Southeast and Asia, versus in Europe, because like in Europe, like Czechoslovakia, Poland, Germany, and certain areas like that ate a lot of sauerkraut, they didn't suffer as many losses during the Spanish flu.
Hmm.
Same thing with like Korea and other areas that ate, you know, like a kimchi sort of thing. Same thing. But the key is that you're going to have the natural probiotics and with the, is it not gluconic? It's, oh gosh. What is the acid that is made during the sauerkraut process? Lactic acid. lactic acid, again, another DNA building block acid. And for some reason, the lactic acids, it's proven that lactic acid does fight against the flu. And so, again, I'm recommending these things because anything that can help fight against the flu and help boost your immunity and antibodies will possibly help you with Ebola. So, but the thing is you've got to eat a natural homemade sauerkraut or kombucha or kefir or yogurt or so forth and so on. The more of these things that you can consume, the higher your you can raise your immune system and amp your body out with all this stuff, the odds are probably better that you're not going to contract the disease or a disease, period, because you're just so amped out with all this and your body is just a lot more healthier.
Exactly. You're going to feel better.
And you're going to feel great. And yeah, we do. I notice a change. I definitely notice it when I'm taking all my vitamins and doing my iodine and drinking my kombucha, and I just have more pep in my step. Mm-hmm. I think clearer. I'm thinking my body just feels better. But you're just more healthier. But these are, so it's not a bad thing. And these are things that might be like, oh wow, man, it's a hassle to make my own sauerkraut or kombucha and everything. It is, but over the long run, what you're doing is you're protecting you and your family. And we don't know if Ebola is going to gain a foothold in the U.S. I pray to God that it doesn't happen. But it would be better now to do this than not. And in fact, here's a saying that I've kind of picked up, but it's a Russian proverb, and it says, when it happens, you'll know that it's true. By then, it'll be too late. And so that kind of encompasses about what we need to be doing. You know, stop, don't wait till it happens, because if you wait till it happens, it's too late. You need, because there's a lot of skeptics out there. I just got an email from somebody today, which kind of blew my mind. It's like, well, why can't you believe this? And they just gave me the, oh, I don't believe it. I'm going to trust in God. I don't do any of this prep. I don't do any, you know. But, you know, so it's going to, when it happens, then they're going to know that it's true. And by that time, it's just going to be completely too late for them to do anything. And again, these are things that we've found out firsthand. We found out firsthand during Rita Katrina, you know, that food disappears off the shelf.
Yeah.
We found out during the swine flu pandemic in New Braunfels that meds and everything else just disappear off the shelf. So it's better to make these investments now. And I call these things investments because with the way the dollar and the economy is going, these prices are going up.
Yeah.
I've been warning my readers for some time now, start buying food, start getting long-term foods, canned goods, this and that, because you need to look at them as an investment. We have, like I said, we have some friends visiting here in Costa Rica, and she was telling me how blown away when she went back to America about a month or two ago. One of the first things that they noticed is that the skyrocketing, you know, food prices as opposed, you know, when they left 2 months prior to that. That food price has almost doubled, and she was, it's unbelievable. And she wasn't able to get good quality food. The fruits and vegetables were subpar and rotting and everything, but it was just astronomically expensive. And so same thing is with the medical supplies that are taking place right now. Prices, no matter what, are going up. So what you buy this week may cost you more next week. So why not buy them now while you can, so that if something happens during the pandemic, one of the things that we did notice during the swine flu pandemic, water, bottled water. We saw a six-pack of bottled water at Walmart, and this is the simple Walmart brand bottled water. They were selling a six-pack for $7.
Wow.
Because everybody was panicking.
Yeah, yeah. Now at the local food store here, I know you can get 72 bottles for that same amount of money.
Mm-hmm. So buy these things now so that if the herd happens, because $7 a six-pack is herd mentality, and the herd will buy it. Really? And the stores and everything knows that. And so buy these things now. Look at these things as investments so that if something happens down the road, you're not out there having to buy this stuff, but maybe something comes out on the market or something, some amped-up version of Sambucol or something that you... The normal person may not be able to afford, but because you've thought ahead, you're not having to buy all this stuff. You can then go out and buy maybe this amped up version of Sambucol or this amped up version of vitamin C or better, you know, colloidal silver solution, or you know, there's a lot of things out there that may, you know, come on the market in the next 2-3 months that are not commonly affordable to someone if they're buying all this other stuff on top of that.
Right.
Am I making sense? Am I explaining myself?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. One of the things, though, I love about your book is you get way past just let's store food and let's get some medicines. You talk about useful items that you need to have in your home just in case you either house someone who is ill or someone in your family becomes ill. And these are basics like, you know, sheet protectors, masks. You even get into how to deal with the dead and dying. Mm-hmm. I mean, your book has step-by-step instructions, plus you hyperlink to places where you can purchase these items.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big fan of Amazon.
Me too.
Everybody needs to be on Amazon Prime because it's free shipping.
Amen.
But this is stuff that, because again, being a prepper, you don't really want to advertise to the world what you're doing. And what's wonderful about Amazon is that it'll drop ship right to your front door. So everybody in your neighborhood, all they see is you getting Amazon junk. They don't know what it is. And then also you're not out shopping at Walmart and everything, filling your carts full of stuff and everything where people can, you know, because again, New Braunfels was a small town. And so yeah, you know a lot of people. And if you're pushing a bunch of junk around in the store, someone looks in your cart, hey, Ray, what you doing with all that stuff? You going camping or something? Oh, yeah, Bob, we're going camping. You know, and so with Amazon, you're able to have all this stuff shipped to you for free. And sometimes even the prices are better. But on top of that, and I don't know, it depends on where you live and what you buy and everything. But also a lot of the stuff is tax-free. And so buying through Amazon is a good, frugal decision and will help spread, take your money further and everything. And then everybody and their brother doesn't know what you're buying because mm-hmm. they're not peeking in your shopping cart at Walmart and everything. So you're able to get all this stuff and then it just, you know, and at such a good price. And then some of this stuff you may not be able to find in your local area. I mean, there's places that do have the N95 masks and everything like that. You can pick them up at your local hardware store and stuff. But again, you know, people start to know you around town, at least in our town they did. If I would go to the local hardware store and everything, I'm buying up N95 masks and gloves, people are going, well, what are you doing, Ray?
What do you know that we don't?
Exactly.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
Everybody in New Braunfels knew that we were preppers already and we were on TV and all that other junk. So, you know, I was like, what are you doing that for, Ray? What's coming down the pipe? So it was, you know, it's just it using Amazon is just so much easier and just having all this stuff. That way people just don't know. Mm. And you're able to kind of maintain anonymity.
One of the chapters of your book deals with what to do if the preparations to avoid the disease don't work, that somehow the virus gains entry into someone in your family member and you need to quarantine that patient. How do you go about setting up a quarantine room in order to contain the outbreak inside your home?
If, and this is something, I have a video in my book also that I link into Doc Bones and Nurse Amy, and one of their ideas, and it's a great idea, but this is if weather permits, have a tent outside so that you can basically have a separate sterile area outside, but odds are it's not going to be practical. And so what I'm recommending is just buy rolls and rolls of what's called Visqueen, and that's painter's plastic that you would lay down on the floor. And it's pretty thick plastic, not this thin stuff or anything. It's pretty thick. And just lay it all over your room and hang it from the walls, put it on the floor. But then create like a clean room or a clean closet or entryway. And so when you walk into that room, measure off 4 to 5 feet square where that door is, and hang Visqueen from the ceiling too. And I give instructions on how to do that in the book and stuff. But what you're doing is you're kind of cleaning, you're creating a clean room or a sterile area where you can possibly don your hazmat suit and everything, and then step into the contaminated environment where the patient is and everything. But basically, you just want to plastic everything so that you can spray it down with bleach if you have to, or clean it somehow, or do whatever. And then by having it plastic, putting plastic down on everything. You know, you're not allowing the germs to settle in the carpet, settle into walls or anything porous like that. And then I'm recommending that, one, you need to make a choice of where are you going to do this. And again, this is thinking ahead. And I recommend finding some room that has a bathroom attached to it. And in most cases, that's the master bedroom. So plan on making the master bedroom your quarantine room, and then have enough plastic to basically plastic enclose this entire room. And in this way, you're able to contain any viruses that get spewed or coughed or sneezed anywhere. People will have bad diarrhea, will be vomiting, they will be bleeding out of all their, you know, orifices and everything. So these body fluids are going to just be all over the place. And so when you need to go clean up, you need to make it as easy as possible. And one of the best things to do is just roll it up in plastic and then go get rid of it. But by having it in plastic, basically this room encased in Visqueen, and what you do is you just go down to the hardware store and buy rolls of painter's plastic. It's actually pretty cheap. And they come in rolls, and you can pull it apart. But this is what I'm recommending to people. I'm recommending also, if you're going to use a bed, you know, if you got a king-size bed in your master bedroom, get it out of there and put a twin-size bed so you can walk around to the patient a lot and make it easy. Pull out anything that you don't want to have contaminated, but have enough stuff in there to maintain medical supplies, tables, lamps, UV lamps in the ceiling, things like that. And then also I'm recommending putting like a tape player or a cassette player in there and play some gospel music, good hymns, praise music. Yeah. Also, I'm recommending Alexander Scorby's King James Bible.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good idea.
That read to you, you know. These are things that are positive. They're positive mental things that could help maintain a positive mental attitude in healing. Because again, your body is fighting it. So anything that you can do to help your body maintain a positive, strengthened immunity, anything like that, then do it. You know, is having Alexander Scorby read the King James Bible a cure for Ebola? No, it isn't. But you know what? It's one more odd that you can put in your favor that might, when you compile all these odds together, may help in the long run. I mean, there is no guarantee, but why not try it? Do what you can do, and it might work. Because we don't know what causes the people to live versus what causes the people to die. And I think the more positive environment they can do, a more sterile environment that you can do, a more healthy environment, so forth and so on, more medical supplies that you can pump into the person, so forth, you're raising the odds. And so the more odds that you can put into that patient, the better. And so these are things that I'm recommending people to do, is choose a quarantine room, have enough plastic on hand. And then also with the Visqueen, too, is if you have to, if that person does die, you can wrap them up in Visqueen. And just wrap them up really a lot and prevent all those body fluids from escaping, and, you know, duct tape like crazy and tie it up and everything, so that those body fluids, because no matter what, those body fluids are still, the virus is still in the body. And something in my book I talk about, especially if you like live in Texas where it's hot, and, you know, if you've got a dead body, it takes, you know, within 8 to 16 hours to 24 hours, depending on the heat, that body starts to severely decompose and the methane gases starts to build up. And so you can't be letting a body get like that. And in my book, I give a video to a dead whale. And there's this guy cutting over this dead whale.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
And this whale just blows up.
Yeah.
So the same thing can happen to a human body, too.
It's even worse if the person has died from Ebola. Essentially, before you die, your organs have shut down and literally died before your brain does. And you are still alive, but your organs have failed and they are starting to decompose. Yeah. So it can be hours after the person passes away that you have essentially turned to liquid on the inside.
And any of that liquid gets on you, then you've raised the potential of contracting the
right.
disease.
So, and it only takes 1 to 10 virions for you to contract the disease.
Yeah. And that's nothing.
And a virion is what? Just a virus particle?
One particle.
Yeah,
is
one
a virion.
Particle.
Yeah.
Amazing. But these are things that people are going to have to think of, because the hospital system, and I've talked to multiple doctors, and they all agree that the hospital system will become severely overloaded very quickly. And the hospital, because we saw this in New Braunfels, the hospital system became completely overrun within hours, and the hospital turned into a morgue versus a hospital. So it's basically, bring your people here and we'll help them die. And like I said, we had about 200 cases of swine flu that I think about 200 people died in New Braunfels due to the swine flu that took place. And that was a mutated H1N1. Mm-hmm. And H1N1 is the Spanish flu.
Right.
Every killer flu that we've had, Spanish flu, and I forget what they had in name in the 40s, but in the 60s it was called the Hong Kong flu.
Mm-hmm.
In the 90s, it was called swine flu.
Yeah,
the
next it's always flu. H1N1.
It's all H1N1, and that's the killer. And the reason I'm writing this book, another thing, is I've been preaching a pandemic now for the past 5 or 6 years, because every 30 years, we have a minor pandemic. Every 100 years, we usually have a global killer pandemic. Well, we're coming up on 2018, which would be 100 years from the Spanish flu.
Right.
Flu was the last major global pandemic that
right.
just killed millions, but we're basically due a killer global killer pandemic. And so even if we don't have the Ebola situation, everything that I'm talking about and teaching about and everything could possibly help you survive some sort of global killer pandemic too. You know, a mutated form of H1N1 or the bird flu H5N1
or smallpox.
Yeah, that's making a comeback. Or tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
PSB is pouring over the border thanks to the wonderful administration and their decisions that they're making.
Yep,
right now.
Sadly, a lot of those kids are turning up with symptoms of TB. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And TB is getting to the point where it's almost incurable. Very few antibiotics is effective on it. And once it runs that gamut and completely mutates to where there is no cure, TB is horrendous. And I mean, it's a horrible way to die. I mean, I think back in the olden days, it was called consumption.
Yes.
But it does. It rots out your lungs and attacks your internal organs and everything. But your lungs turn to jelly, basically, and you die of a horrible suffocating death. But TB has a chance. But these are all things that you can do in everything that I'm talking about in my book is common sense procedure that you can do in any sort of pandemic illness sort of event. I'm telling people, go watch the movie Contagion. And I think with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right.
And, I mean, that's an excellent movie. You want to see how bad an autoimmune disease works and works through contact. Watch this movie, Contagion. And it's amazing to see how fast one person can spread a disease. And, you know, because Gwyneth Paltrow, I believe, was patient number one. And it just escalated from there. And Ebola has that potential,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's scary about this strain of Ebola. This strain of Ebola has that potential to infect. And right now, as long as it's somewhat contained to the African nations, then it's still somewhat containable. But the CDC, the head of the CDC or the head of WHO, World Health Organization, has already come out and says we're losing it. We're losing this battle of containment.
Right, who's the head of the CDC plus the head of the Doctors Without Borders? They have been saying we are at war, mm-hmm. and this is going global.
Yeah, and a representative from Samaritan's Purse said that the severity of the problem in Africa is being underreported by 25% to 50%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So eventually, the thing that I'm watching, and I got feelers out, and I have all my RSS feeds keyed in on it. Is if it hits a Western nation, there was some cases in London. There was some possibilities here that's already happened here in New York. I think we've got one in Ohio right now, Canada. So if any of these actually do blossom into an Ebola case, then the disease is already spread, and all we need it's just going to be a matter of time because the incubation period is from 2 to 21 days.
Mm-hmm.
So someone could be walking around right now who was exposed by being exposed through an airport or some form of mass transportation or something like that, and are spreading the disease and they don't even know it, which then they're infecting people who don't even know it, who are infecting people, who are infecting people, who are infecting people. And so it just grows exponentially.
Yeah.
And in 21 days, all of a sudden, everybody is out there dying. And it hits us like a wave, and we never even saw it coming. And that's why I'm telling people in my book and stuff, if you feel even the slightest hint of anything, because it's so naturally ingrained into us, into our society. Oh, I got the flu, big deal, you know, take some vitamin C, drink some orange juice and charge on, you know. No, you know, if there's a chance that you have possibly contracted this disease, you need to take it seriously. And self-quarantine, amp up on your meds and everything, that the things that I'm recommending and stuff, so that you have a chance of one, not passing it on, but two, possibly fighting this disease and stuff. So it's just
exactly it, exactly.
If it comes to a Western nation, then I'm kind of putting myself out on a limb there. If it comes to a Western nation, all bets are off, because a Western nation is not prepared. Where in Africa, people kind of think about it and stuff like that. We in the West really haven't faced anything like this. And so our habits and our ideas and our work ethic and everything like that is just primed to spread a pandemic disease. And so if it hits the Americas, if it hits England, France, somewhere in Europe, anywhere with a major metropolitan area and a major metropolitan airport and everything, if it gets into an airport, then all bets are off.
Well, dear listener, I know that you are probably very concerned right now because you're wondering, is this going to come to my town? We don't know, but you can be prepared. Ray, where can we find your book?
On Amazon. Right now we're on Amazon, and I'm looking at actually pushing it out on print too, depending on how many people are really interested in getting this and everything. I've had readers talk to me about getting it on PDF, and so I'm considering maybe putting it out on PDF so that you can come to my website, get it from PDF, or you buy it on Amazon via Kindle. And the reason I love Kindle is that you can download the Kindle software for free for your smartphone, your iPad, your Android device, your laptop, your PC, your Mac. You name it, they make a Kindle software, which is free. And so you can basically turn anything into a Kindle. You do not have to go out and buy the Kindle itself. You can download it to smartphone and pads and this and that and be able to purchase the book. But right now, let me see, where is it? Reload. I'm kind of excited.
Mm-hmm.
My book is now sitting at 4,198, and that's it's been slowly climbing the Amazon charts. And
awesome.
I'm number two in healing. My book is number two in healing. My book is number three in communicable diseases. My book is number four in viral diseases. And so these are all different areas on Amazon.
Hmm.
And my book is performing really well. But this morning I looked it up and it was sitting at 4623. And now it's sitting at 4198. So we're slowly climbing that. The lower the number, the higher I am at the Amazon store. My other books right now are sitting like at the 300,000s, and my Lucifer book is like at 300,000. My Israel America book is like at 300,000. So this is the best one of my books I've done, hitting the below 5,000. So
well, I think you've hit on a need. And the cool thing about getting a PDF copy of it, we would be able to print it out.
Mm-hmm,
so if the day ever comes that you can't access it on your smartphone because the electricity's out,
exactly,
then you still have a copy of it.
Yeah.
And by then, you'd better have your supplies already in your home.
Yeah.
And
right.
You're only referring to this to see, how do I set up that quarantine room?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Ray Gano is the publisher, founder of Prophezine Online at prophezine.com, and the author of the new book, Survive the Coming Storm, Ebola Crisis, A Prepper's Guide on How to Prepare for a Killer Global Ebola Pandemic and Treat at Home. Ray, we appreciate you sharing some time with us this afternoon. Hang on the line. We don't want to lose you just yet, but we're going to wrap up here and then say our goodbyes. But Ray, thanks again for your time and for putting this information together.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I'm deeply blessed and honored that you would have me on, and I just appreciate you helping me get this word out and helping me prepare the body of Christ for this possible thing. Again, I pray to God that something like this doesn't happen, but we need to always be ready to share the hope that's within us, because, you know, Christ is still in control. God is still on the throne, and we have a chance to make a difference even when times seem at their worst. We have a chance. So by doing this and everything, we can continue to share the hope that's within us.
Amen. All right. Well, again, we know that we're not given a spirit of fear, and that was not the purpose of this program, but just to prepare, because the principles that Ray lays out in this book are useful not just for they're not specific to Ebola.
No.
There are other things out there that could affect and infect our homes and our families, and some of these basic principles are just prudent regardless. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that as we go back in the history of our nation, you go back 100 years ago, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, I think kind of understood some of these things. When somebody gets sick, you keep the rest of the family away, you keep them in a room together, you just common sense things that we have gotten away from because we're so used to modern medicine and our health insurance. And I've got a sniffle, so I'm going to go to the clinic because it's no deductible and I only have to pay and we're going to the doctor for everything and assuming that they can just give us a pill or a shot and we'll be fine. And we don't have to change our habits at all. So this is a real good reminder, and we really appreciate Ray putting this together.
Sam just shook off. He says we're done.
Well, in that case, then we better hit the music. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out.